It's day two. We're backstage broadcasting live from Coachella. I'm Megan Holliday. It's the world famous K-Rock here with a living legend, Danny Elfman.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for coming out.
I'm so happy to be here.
This is amazing. How do you feel about performing today? Where are you at right now?
It's very surreal. You know, I haven't come out on a stage as me in almost 28 years. That's a long pause. I've done Jack Skellington, but Jack Skellington's Jack Skellington.
Right.
And so it's kind of an interesting feeling. It's like, oh my God, I'm just me tonight.
Being very vulnerable. You know, it's like going out there naked, kind of.
Kind of like that, yeah.
It's amazing. Well, and, you know, I mean, you were supposed to do this. You
booked 2 years ago.
Yeah, right. So you've kind of had this long buildup, which I would imagine is not the coolest thing in the whole world.
Well, I mean, we put so much work into this crazy show that I kind of came up impulsively when I met Paul, and we just started talking ideas, and I said, how about this? And he says, okay. And then putting it together was a ton of work. So just as we were getting close, of course, it imploded.
Absolutely.
And but, you know, it all worked out because I went and did an album on just because I didn't know what to do with myself.
So your first album in 37 years, big mess. Can you tell me kind of why you wanted to make that and what this album means to you?
I didn't want to. It just happened. I mean, literally, I was actually sitting down to write a symphonic commission, which I knew wasn't going to happen because, you know, remember in April of 2020 where everything hadn't canceled yet, but we all knew everything would.
Yep.
And so it was at that. And I was just so frustrated. And I started just writing songs. And once I opened that Pandora's box, it's like, okay, this isn't going to stop.
Yeah.
And I called Laura and I said, look, you know, I'm at song 18. This is getting ridiculous. And so we made an arbitrary deadline because I realized I hadn't worked without a deadline in like 35 years.
You kind of needed one to get it done.
I need a deadline. So we made a deadline and I finished it.
Because or else you just keep going in there and
changing. I'd be at 118 songs. Exactly.
Oh my goodness. So when you were writing this album, did you feel like it was just a way for you to be able to get out
vent.
All of your feelings? Yeah, vent.
It was just venting and, you know, and I think, you know, a lot of people, a lot of artists, I think in the quarantine got more introspective also, found themselves kind of like looking at things different, like we all did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, suddenly we're at home for a year.
Absolutely. I know. Well, I've noticed a lot of the songs that have been coming out that people wrote during the pandemic had to do with love. And I thought that that was pretty cool and interesting.
Then I guess I'm the opposite guy.
No, but it was like we kind of needed both,
okay,
though.
Because I was sitting there seething in 2020. And I was so frustrated and angry and just where America was in this bizarre place that I felt I just never could have imagined it. And I just had to get it off my
chest. Well, I want to say thank you for expressing that because of us felt that way. And we can't just act like that didn't happen to us. And we can't just act like, you know, I feel like we're coming out of the pandemic and we're sort of trying to act like normal. But we all know we've just gone through hell over the last couple years.
Exactly. So, you know, there's room for love and anger, right?
Absolutely. Can I ask you who played on the album with you?
Well, it's most of the band that's here tonight. It's Josh Fries on drums, who I just love. Josh. Neely Brosh on rhythm guitar. Stu Brooks on bass. And on the album, we had... God,
Robin Fink.
This always happens.
It's okay. We're going to edit it.
Every time I have to edit anything. On the album, Robin Fink, the guitarist, played, but he is in rehearsals for a Nine Inch Nails tour and couldn't do the shows. He felt really bad. But we have Wes Borland stepping in, and Wes has just been great. I mean, Robin was great, and Wes is great.
So
I'm just working with these two great guitarists.
So have you known Wes for a while now?
I never met him before.
Oh, wow.
I never met Robin before, or Stu, or any of them. I knew Josh a little bit. So it started with Josh.
Yeah.
And then that became the Big Mess Band, and then we're ready to go, and then... you know, Robin had to bow out.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, it is Nine Inch Nails after all.
Yeah. I mean, actually, I was really lucky to get Stu because he was on a tour with the Offspring in Australia, and their whole tour got canceled, and he suddenly popped up and said, I'm available again, wait for me, guys.
So cool. Well, I'm so interested to see how it's all going to go today, because you're obviously going to be playing new songs, you're going to be playing Oingo Boingo stuff.
And film stuff.
Yeah, I know.
That's the crazy part. I don't know if anybody's ever tried to do this kind of mashup before.
I'm so curious to see how it's all going to go
down. Well, it seemed like a good idea when I pitched it to Paul 3 years ago.
Oh, my God.
We'll see. Now here we are.
And I showed you on my phone. I have a photo of Pee Wee Herman, which has been on my phone for at least 10 years.
Big Adventure is playing tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
We're playing the theme to Pee Wee.
You have no idea how much that's going to mean for me. And, I mean, you know, when I think about you writing like the Simpsons soundtrack, and you had said in a previous interview that you were just driving and you got the idea in your head.
No, I mean, I came out of the meeting with Matt Groening, and I already kind of I got in the car, and the whole thing just came out like before I got home. So I had to run down to my studio before I forgot it. Wouldn't talk to anybody. And just wait a minute, I gotta get this thing.
Just to be inside of your brain for a second would be very interesting.
You'd
want to
get out really quick. I promise
you. That's how I feel about my brain.
You'd want to take a quick look for about 2 seconds and say, where's the door?
Oh my God. So how could you decide between, I mean, Men in Black, Edward Scissorhands, Batman, Beetlejuice? Like, how did you know what to choose?
You know, it was just, I don't know. We just kind of tried different things and it just kind of fell together the way it did. And it just felt right.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited to watch your set, Danny. And it seriously means the world to me that you took the time to come and hang. You have such a long history with K-Rock.
I know. Thank you so much. I mean, K-Rock is just part of my fabric of my life. It really is.
So was Rodney on the Rock one of the first people to play Oingo Boingo?
It was Jed the Fish.
Oh, Jed the Fish.
Yeah.
Wow.
He discovered, before we had even any released album, it was a 4-song EP that we pressed ourselves, made 100 copies of, and Jed somehow got a copy and started playing it. And we really owe everything to that.
Oh my gosh. Well, shout out to Jed the Fish.
Shout out to Jed the Fish.
And Danny Elfman, thank you so much for joining. I'm Megan Holiday, backstage at Coachella. It is the world famous K-Rock.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Hey, would you mind doing a couple?